Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Carolla Classics is brought to you by LifeLock. Look, these are turbulent times, and the fraudsters love it. Cybersecurity researchers are warning that cyber criminals are sending emails that include Black Lives Matter in the subject line in an effort to install malware on victims' computers.
How rude.
Yeah, so if any curious party clicks on the file attached to the email, it ends up installing some dangerous Microsoft Windows malware known as TrickBot. I'm only telling you this because it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting everybody's lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet. You could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit. Good thing, though, there's LifeLock. It detects a wide range of identity threats. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, LifeLock sends you an alert. It's a beautiful service. You should get it. LifeLock, right, Gio?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions in all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 25% off.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for 7-11, July 11th, 2020. This is the show where we highlight some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. We'll play some clips right here, right now. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni's here.
Hey, it's 7-Eleven, Chris. Did you make a wish?
No, but I am getting my free Slurpee.
Well, how about you make a wish that I still have a job next week?
Oh, of course I'll make that wish, Gio. Hopefully it works. Because my wishes always come true.
Mine are like monkey's paw wishes, where you wish for something and then terrible things unfold. Like, I wish not to travel this year, and look what happened.
I've seen Treehouse of Horror. I know how that monkey paw works.
That's what I based my whole life on.
Before we get going with this first clip, I want to remind everybody, Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. We got some good clips here, Gio, and we're going to start off strong. Now, Adam has been going on the road the last couple of years doing an act he calls Adam Carolla's Unprepared. We fill up a bingo hopper full of ping pong balls, and the audience writes a single word on each ball. Sometimes, most of the times, they're single words, and they get picked at random, and whatever word gets chosen, Adam has to perform stand-up comedy based on that bit.
So you can Jimmy Kimmel's idea.
Jimmy Kimmel's idea, yes.
The very first time it happened was on stage with Kimmel?
Yeah, we did it at Flappers. And we tried it, and it was such a huge success that Adam's been taking it all over the country.
Behind the scenes, I've been breaking down all these live shows and podcast appearances, and there's over 300 Adam Carolla's Unprepared suggestions now.
Yeah.
If you cut down a couple of duplicates, I think it's still over 300.
And
of those, these two podcast appearances, this would be, I think, the third time it was on the show then, because Flappers, then Rob Riggle, and then this episode.
Right, so the Rob Riggle episode we did on December 10th. Well, a week later, we thought we loved doing it so much, we kept the balls from that audience in the bingo hopper, and we thought, let's do it in studio with Joe Coy. And that's what happened. So on December 17th of 2018, we had the bingo hopper in studio for the one and only time we did this bit in studio with Joe Coy, and this is Adam Carolla's Unprepared.
Episode 2472 of the podcast. Chris Hordell, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop also in this episode. This chunk is just Joe Coy, Gina Grad, Brian, and Adam. This is from December 2018. This is ACIU. Check it out.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Mike Morgan, just wanted to submit a name of chick least, well, I think she's a chick, least likely to have sex with Adam. That would be Ann Coulter. Come on, she's got to be a winner.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, the scuttlebutt is that she's having sex with Jimmy J.J. Walker.
That's the best.
Which is the best.
Yeah.
It's the best. You ever heard that? That Ann Coulter is with Jimmy J.J. Walker?
Really?
Kid Dynamite?
Dynamite!
Kid Dynamite.
J.J. Walker. I loved him.
Now, is that too good to be true?
I don't know if it's a goof that they both kind of like, or we're just uptight that two people can't have sex who may inhabit the earth at the same time. I don't know. I don't know, but she has lots of pictures of them together, and she doesn't deny it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's just kind of the white Omarosa. And
it's long been said.
And he's the black Dane Cook. Or I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know if they're just any publicity is good publicity. We're just trying to go get some.
Who would be more offended by that statement, her or Omarosa? Calling her the white Omarosa.
Oh, the good news is they would both be out of their mind, offended by it. That's always funny to me when you take two ugly people and you go, "No, Steve, you kind of look like Carl." And he goes, "Are you kidding me? He's a troll." And you go find Carl and go, "He's equally as upset about the comparison." That I've said it once. The great Mark Garagos said to me, "Here's the definition in the world, the legal world, when you settle out of court." He said that the definition of a fair settlement is both parties are upset. That means you got the exact number. The person that cut the check is pissed, and the person who got the check is pissed. That means you nailed it. They're both upset. One guy thinks he's paid too much. The other guy thought. Means you're right there. And when you compare somebody to you and you go, "Are you kidding? That guy's ugly," or whatever, it means you've landed. You've nailed it. If you're both upset, if one person is, "Oh, thank you," and the other person's pissed off, that means one person's hot and the other person's other. Unless you modify it, like Jimmy Kimmel, where he said, "Adam, you look like a retarded Pete Sampras," in which case...
Pete Sampras has an out.
He has an out, right? Because he's not retarded. Right. I look like a retarded version of him.
Yeah.
Who said that to you?
Jimmy said that.
Oh, my God.
You can do fat. You can do retarded. You can downgrade. You know, the one party can be not aggrieved.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we have the game, right? Now, you're just going to spin around. How many balls are in there?
There's about 40 balls.
Okay. So you just pull one out. We'll
okay.
See if
we can spin it out?
Give it a good spin.
Spin it around. We have an intro?
Yeah, do it.
If preparation were ping pong balls, he'd be just fine. But it's not. And Adam Carolla is unprepared.
All right, sir. A ball came out.
All right. Well, you shall read what is on the ball.
It says A-S-H... Okay. Entitlement.
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 Well, is that on
entitlement.
All the balls? Entitlement. Oh, so entitlement is what
it's supposed to be. A-S-H is the initials of the person.
I'm sorry. That's all
right. You did great. You did great.
Max a pat a
prom. You could never have been.
Did say that? Or could have said that? Didn't say that. All right.
I think you guys tell him.
Yeah, right now? Okay. So he just read A-S-H.
I'm sorry.
No, entitlement. Maxipata just should have said there are going to be initials on there. Don't. You don't have to read that.
Entitlement. Could be entitlement. Could be an actual entitlement.
Yeah.
Entitlement, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the sense of entitlement. I think it is destroying our country. I've never felt entitled to anything. I think part of the problem with being in the United States is this weird sense of entitlement. We're supposed to fix everything, stop everything. Like we go, "Hey, we need to lower our carbon emissions so we can stop global warming." We can't stop global warming as long as China and India and Russia and wherever in Africa want to just keep bowling along with their global warming. Yep. We can't even put a fucking dent in it. But we do, and we have to admit it, like as the United States, when you look at the globe and you look up the world and you look at this country, you realize we're not much. We're just kind of a postage stamp on something the size of a Leif Garrett poster from the 70s. I picked a hot dude with feathered back hair.
My sister had that.
And we're going, why doesn't that postage stamp fix the rest of the Leif Garrett or Farrah Fawcett poster?
Pick your poison.
Why can't that one postage stamp? Well, that postage stamp is entitled and thinks it's supposed to, or thinks it's been anointed and appointed to do all this, or thinks it can influence. That's the other thing about the entitled thing. We think it's owed to us, but we also think everyone else is owed to us. Like, we're just going to tell you what to do, and you're going to do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in kids. It sure as fuck doesn't work in pets. It doesn't work in nations. I wish we could undo a little of the entitlement. And you see it in the way people drive. You see it in the way people interact with other people. You see it in the way what people expect. You're going to be wildly disappointed if you have a sense of entitlement. It'll never work out. And by the way, if it does work out, that'll be a 5 because you have a sense of entitlement. Have no sense of entitlement, everything will be wondrous.
Yeah.
When you get a little sprig of parsley by the side of the plate when you order your eggs, you'll go, my goodness.
The gratitude.
What a delightful day. I have a sprig of parsley.
If
yes.
If you have a sense of entitlement, the best the world can, life can do for you is meet your expectations.
Right.
That's the best
Zero.
Case scenario.
Yes.
Like everything goes well for you. It's like, oh, okay.
As yeah. it should.
It's essentially flying private versus never flying private versus expecting to fly private and then showing up and going Southwest and being in the C boarding group every time. So whatever sense of entitlement you have, whatever sense of privilege, whatever sense of anything you have of yourself, knock it the fuck off. Nobody else cares about the sense you have of yourself. They care about how you act. They care about how you execute. They don't care what you're feeling or sensing. Way too much discussion on sense of entitlement, sense of privilege. You know what? I find it problematic.
Ooh,
I like wow. when people are finding things problematic. I find the sense of entitlement and entitlement problematic. Thank
you're
you.
Here.
Well done.
Next
nice.
Ball.
Nice.
God.
See, that's all how right. it's done.
I'm telling you, man, you're fucking good. You motivate me every fucking time.
Hold
you know
on.
That?
Like the great Richard
Simmons.
Simmons. I was going to say Richard Gere. The great Richard Gere once told me, you're only as good as your last ball. And then I spun a wheel, and then there was a nutsack on it. Oh. And I was like, oh, my God. This is like that time that Spinner song came on Sunday Night Football. So glad my son was in the room.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm spinning it again.
That's right.
Oh.
There you go. You ready? It's a round hopper that has a little half egg, has a ball turret at the bottom of it, like the ball turret gunner in a B-24, and the one will just randomly fall into that.
You ready?
I'm ready.
The word is caravan.
Oh,
we did caravan.
I think we did do caravan.
What
right?
are the chances?
That. Let's toss that. Let's start again.
That's ready? Weird, right?
Yeah.
One of the four we did on stage was caravan, and there's 61 balls in there. Seems like a low percentage.
Am I reading this right?
Might have been Hot Topic.
Yes, it can only be one thing.
Rapey.
Oh, oh rapey.
Rapey.
Yep. Mm. Well, we have raped the word rape.
Oh.
Wow.
When I was growing up, rape meant rape. Rape. I mean, they had magazines dedicated to rape.
Yeah.
Like the hottest magazine, the two hottest magazines you could see at the 7-Eleven were the Lowrider magazine or True Detective and True Crime. And it was a chick with her blouse had been pulled open, and there was a stiletto right where the two cups met. You know, he's going to do the ha! And then it, somehow she was going to get raped. You never seen any
no.
of these True Detective, True Crime, True whatever?
I'm interested.
Well, back in the day, we didn't have porn. We had stuff that reminded you to beat off. And that's basically what this was, like a Sears catalog. We'd go through the bra section. But someone's like, well, what if we showed a chick's bra and we put a stiletto in there?
This is like Penthouse meets David Fincher?
It was called mind porn.
Yes.
Okay.
And rape back in the day meant someone was jogging through Central Park at night and some gang of hoodlums jumped out of a shrub and held her down and took turns with her, much like the Coward of the County when there were three of those Gatlin brothers and they took care of Becky Sue.
They were on tour in New York.
That's right. There were three of them. So rape used to mean rape. And when someone said, I was rape or a rape victim or a rape survivor, wherever it is, you were like, oh my God.
Can only mean one
I'm
thing.
Only picturing this.
Yeah.
Now we have to picture what was in your fucking high school yearbook talking about boofing and what other version that we've taken rape and spread it out so that its meaning could mean almost anything, any unwanted sexual advance, any sex you had. You know how many people, ask me how many people I had sex with that then regretted having sex with me the following day. Just ask.
How many
100%.
I can't, that's all of them.
I can't give you a number.
That's all of them.
But I want to cover everyone. I cannot give you a number.
Oh,
I can just say 100%.
He's being conservative.
Oh my God, it's exciting.
Yes, that now that makes me a serial rapist.
Yeah.
So we've taken the word rape and we've raped the word rape and I'm not a fan of rape words. Rape's very powerful. Rape is up there. I mean, rape is up there. It's on.
Oh, just to be clear, which one are you a fan of?
It's on the Mount Rushmore. It's up there with pedophile and bigot and homophobic and xenophobic. Yeah. I mean, it's up racist, rape. It's all up there. And we've added a whole bunch of different much lesser versions of it to that same thing. I do not like this. You sit with Mark Geragos. Mark Geragos will sit right where Joe Coy is, mm-hmm. and he'll explain, here's murder one. This is what murder one is. Here's what second degree murder is. Here's what assault, an aggravated assault is. Here's what manslaughter, and I think manslaughter, like malice and manslaughter. Like, I mean, there's a whole bunch of shades right. before you get to my bad. I didn't see your kid in the driveway. Like, there's a million. And the whole reason as a society we figured this out is because we want to know, do we put the guy in the electric chair? Do we put him in prison without a possibility of parole? Or does he get, you know, time served, slap on the hand, 100 hours of community service? We have this in every, whenever it comes to the law, when you talk about the law, we have all the different shades of all the different meanings. Not rape. Used to have the meaning. Now it does have the meaning, and it has 1,000 other meanings, which is the raping of the word rape.
Mm. Wow. That's heavy.
Powerful.
You're powerful, man. That's chapter two. You just wrote two fucking chapters. Let's get to chapter three. This guy's good.
All right. Joe spinning that ball wheel.
It's a pretty damn good device.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing.
It's fun.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Does that say what I think it says?
Oh, we did that one, too.
Okay, we'll get rid of that.
That's bizarre.
Jeez, Max Pat, I have a novel idea next time we produce this.
Okay.
I got two wild ideas. I'd like to guess what my two wild ideas are for producing this bit.
I think it's too crazy for air. Let's just move
and
on.
I would remove the ones we've already done.
I did remove the ones we've already done.
You did?
Rob put them underneath there, and I threw them away when we packed up.
So it's just have dittos of salmon and caravan and all that.
Possibly. People wrote as couples. I don't know if they...
I shall modify, then, this dressing down. The modification of this is you shall then have to look through what's in the hopper, mm-hmm. literally, and see if we find duplicates.
Ooh, that's fair.
Of ones we've done before.
Okay.
And also probably explain to whoever's doing the pulling not to worry about the initials at the top. Go ahead, Joe Coy.
Sir, this is a tough word, and that's what I like about this.
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching me other words. Penultimate.
Uh-huh. Penultimate.
Yeah.
Penultimate means the one before mm-hmm. the last Fine. One, yeah. which I don't think people really know. I think they just use penultimate.
As the end-all, be-all. Yep.
It's the penultimate. Like, when I was a kid, I would use, oh, God. I'm trying to think of the word I would use. Infamous.
Infamous.
I didn't know infamous meant bad.
Celine Dion is infamous.
She's infamous for her great pipes.
Oh, shit. That's what I thought it meant. I
certainly didn't you ever see Three Amigos? It's a big plot point.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh.
We don't need penultimate.
I did, but I don't
remember it. And if He's we infamous. Do have a... We don't need an on deck. And if we do have an on deck, then where's our in the hole? Mm-hmm. Like if we're working baseball, what's the word for the third?
Anti-penultimate.
Is it?
Almost positive.
That's three?
Almost. Look that up.
Feel like it needs a try or something. Either way.
Try penultimate?
It's one of the words that douchebags like to lord over regular folks. There's no reason to ever announce this is, because it's so, first off, no one needs to know this is the second to last one. We only need to know it is the last one. So when you take that word, penultimate one, all you're doing is taking folks around you who have a junior college education and knocking them on their heels.
Yeah.
I also would like to find that word. I would bet you, penultimate, I bet you it's a word that either no one has ever used. Like, you took an individual. Like, they do these case studies now. I got a better one. They do these ones all the time. And they go, they want to know what the effects of staring at the screen are going to have on the young plastic mind. So we took two-year-olds who watched 7 hours of TV and looked at screen time, and we followed them over the years, and we gave them a functional MRI, and we found out how it affected their brain and all these studies, these long-term studies. Here's my long-term study. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but yet I know exactly how it's going to turn out. Mm-hmm. Penultimate. You find the person that uses that word. Mm-hmm. I bet they use it 26,000 times in their life, from the time they dusted it out in the seventh grade in speech and debate to the time they died. Like they're laying in their hospital bed and they're clinging to life and their grandkids were around them. They're like, I'm not going to die today, but this is my penultimate day. Yeah. I shall die. I bet they use that. Then I'll bet you found the guy who's never used a word and have sailed through he or she's entire life never using the word. If this wasn't pulled out of the bucket, I wouldn't have used it this time.
Yeah.
I don't think they're people who just sort of flirt with the word penultimate. Like, yeah. I don't think you go like, do you use that word? Here and again, maybe once every 4 years. I think you fucking dust it off every 20 minutes to lord your intelligence over someone. Or you're scared because you don't know how to sound it out and you're not exactly sure what it means. So I think this is my penultimate ping pong ball, and that we should only do one more after this. Here we go.
Well done.
I think Chris bring it all together.
Chris has an update. Third to last.
Anti-penultimate.
Hold on. Say it again.
Anti-penultimate.
Wow.
That's the third. That's what Brian knew.
Hold on.
There you go.
Third to last, yeah.
All right. How'd you know I farted?
What do we got? The ultimate ball.
This is the ultimate.
Ultimate.
I can't read it.
I think we learned is joke
are tough.
Read.
These are tough words. Defenestration.
Defenestration.
I don't know that word.
I defined that word on the podcast.
Can you say it again?
3 months ago.
Can you say it again?
Defenestration. It's a stupid vocab word. It means to throw something or someone out of a window.
Oh, we did discuss that at some point.
This came up like 3 or 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. That's Suge Knight. Say it as Elton John doing Suge Knight, hanging Marky Mark or whatever.
You're Vanilla Ice. This contract.
And then and he's threatening to hang Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, he's hanging him. Sign this contract. And work, sign your life away.
Work that word into it because that's what he was doing.
How do you say that word again?
Defenestration.
Defenestration.
Yeah, now you don't have to sing it, but you have to threaten that he needs to sign his contract or you will defenestrate his ass.
Oh, my God. As Elton John as a black man?
As Elton John as Suge Knight. Assaulting Vanilla Ice and say you're going to defenestrate his ass.
Listen here, motherfucker. If you don't sign this contract waiving everything you own and give it to me, I'm going to say it again.
Defenestrate.
I'm going to defenestrate your ass off this motherfucking balcony.
You know who the ultimate in defenestration was?
Huh.
Fatty Arbuckle.
That's right.
The world's most famous defenestrator.
Did he throw out a window?
The Fatty Arbuckle story was that he threw like some floozy through a plate glass window and his career was never right again. On the other hand, that's lore. I don't think he ever did it.
I thought he was exonerated.
I do, but the way we work.
Like when Fatty Arbuckle killed that hooker?
Right. That's the way we work. Defenestration must have been someone who was listening to your definition of it on the podcast a few months back.
Or just another word. Nerd.
To your point about people lording words over
that's
people.
That's right.
That was one of those ones that if you learned it in sixth or seventh grade for whatever reason, like you lorded. Like
you never stopped.
Whoever wrote that. I never learned
this word.
Yeah, I have to imagine. Yeah,
What school did you go to where you learned this word?
Yeah.
So did you hear what Gina said?
What's that?
She goes, or another nerd.
I didn't say
she
that.
She sounded so.
I thought you said that.
You said that.
Oh, I thought you said it before me.
Now, do you have to?
You're a bully.
Do you have to throw it out a window, or could my dog defenestrate its head out of a window?
There is self defenestration, but
is that a class?
Something has to be. Chris, look up the definition.
Are you trying to get thrown out of
windows? If a building is burning,
it's not a building. Your... It could be first. Like Mike Birbiglia defenestrated himself
on
the first floor of a hotel.
Sleepwalk.
Hey, man, listen, your whole thing where you're like, remember at Loveline, you're like, all I want for people to ask me woodworking questions for half an hour because that's easy lifting. Mm-hmm. Just ask me
vocab words,
grammar questions all day long.
And really?
That's the Brian Bishop show.
Wow.
No one will listen.
Yeah, hot show.
Wow.
I love that.
But still, Birbiglia went out of a structure. Do you need to go out of a window?
You got to go out of a window.
You got to go out of a window.
Throw someone or something out of a window.
Didn't he go out of a window, though?
Yeah, yeah, but I was saying, does it have to be a building or whatever? Oh, and you were saying, like, no.
When I heard building, I thought it meant, like, an upper floor right. of a building. Yes, it has to be, yes, a window in a room or something.
Does it have to have the word shun at the end?
It could be to defenestrate.
Yeah, defenestrate.
This is real good. It's hot.
That's a horrible
right, pull out one more. Let's see if we can figure
it
out.
End on defenestration.
Why don't you just pull the ball out?
I think that's Suge Knight's son's name.
Mm. All right. You're doing it. There it is. What you got?
There you go. You ready?
Chicano.
Chicano. What is that?
If only you knew someone who studied Chicano.
My mom was a Chicano studies major at Valley College. Yes. The woman who looks like... If Tom Petty had an older sister that never was allowed to leave the house while the sun was out, that's what my mom looks like.
Albino and yet
she
Petty?
Was Albino Petty. Oh. She was a Chicano studies major. Chicano doesn't really, it's unclear what Chicano means. I don't know if it just means Mexican or of Latin descent.
I think it's just Mexican. Chicano.
There was a band called El Chicano. There was a restaurant called El Chicano. El Chicano, the band, sung Tell Her She's Lovely. Ooh. Had a nice satin beat with a conga drum going in there. And Chicano was very of its time. Like, Chicano was like 1974, Los Angeles, Freddie Prince, Chico and the Man.
I like this.
That's Chicano.
Yeah, Chicano is a U.S. citizen of Mexican descent. Very specific.
Oh.
According to
I like this.
SpanishDictionary.com.
Yeah, it just means Mexican-American.
By the way, we don't use it anymore. I'm assuming it would be considered offensive. Yeah. What I love about all the douchebags who explained to us what we could say 20 years ago or 30 years ago, their douchebag kids are now correcting us and going, you can't
use me.
See, I know my dad ushered in this word Chicano and told you to use it in 1974.
Times have changed.
Times have changed. Well, douchebags haven't. The fucking douche doesn't fall too far from the fucking bag. That's what I got to say. And so now, all the words, if you hang out long enough, I was told to use Chicano like when I was 9, and now you will be told not to use Chicano. But
he's still alive, though, the guy that came up with the name.
We got to figure out who came up with the name. The thing
you
about
can't tell him no, because he's going to be like, hey, but I still like saying Chicano.
Your grandfather in.
Hey, mijo.
You're a boy.
Yeah.
Hey, mijo.
Yeah.
Why are you telling all of these fucking gringos they can't call us Chicano anymore?
I don't. But father. No. I mean grandfather.
No, yeah. Yeah, fucker. Respect me.
Sorry, man.
Respect me, fucker.
Sorry. First off, these words are hurtful.
Are they hurtful?
Yeah.
They didn't hurt me when I came up with it, you fucking asshole.
Okay. Oh, wow. Now, I don't know if you're calling me an asshole or an essay or asshole. Yeah. Okay. So listen, Grandpa.
Yeah.
I am what's
I'm
called.
I'm a Chicano.
All right. But
your father's a Chicano.
But I'm woke.
You're an asshole.
I'm woke. You understand?
What the fuck is woke?
It's the past tense.
You know what?
Of waked. No.
Wake. You're asleep, fucker.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to go
to. Is. I came up with that word and we hold it with pride.
All right. Well, speaking of pride.
Yeah.
I'm gay. We're having a gay pride parade.
Uh-huh.
And we have a Mexican American gay pride parade. Parade, but no Chicano gay pride parade.
What the
and I'm
fuck?
Going to the campus at UC Irvine, and I'm going to explain to them that anyone who uses the word Chicano is not welcome on this campus.
Thank you.
Well done.
All right. Who came up
once
with
once a Chicano, always a Chicano. Remember that
Chicano.
Fuckers.
El Chicano. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really trace it back. I mean, the Aztecs used to call themselves Mexicanos, and then it became Chicanos, and then Chicanos just over time.
So it was up there with Afro-American. There was Afro-American and Chicano were about the same time, which was always kind of weird to me, because then the Afro's also the hairdo, so that felt weird.
You know what else is weird? And I hear people stumbling over this a lot.
You couldn't do Afro-American,
no,
could you now?
That's not what you say, no. Okay. But people either stumble over this or say it and don't even realize it. If you're talking about a black person who is born and raised in England...
Mm-hmm.
What do you call them? So many people are saying, you know, I heard someone say, oh, the Meghan Markle, you know, the royal wedding was so beautiful and they had this amazing African-American choir. Well, they're not African American.
African Britain.
But we're talking about narcissists. Yeah. Americans are so us-centric. Everyone's an African American.
Everybody listen to us. Yes. I mean, there's folks that are black from Cuba and all that, and they never do it.
Well, Idris Elba is not African American.
Right.
No. He's British.
All right.
He's perfect.
He's a beautiful man. Yeah.
Thank you, El Chicano.
Yeah.
Tell her. Let me hear it. Tell her she's lovely.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Smooth.
I'm buying this.
This is, what's the name of the group? Laid for El Chicano.
God, this is good.
Turn it up.
I've never heard this before.
Never heard this song?
No.
I got a piece. I'll let this go.
I love this.
Yeah.
Is their music all like this?
Huh?
Is it all like this? All their songs?
I don't know. They have no other songs than this song.
Oh, this is the
song.
Only song.
This song was a hit in like 1976. Ah, so beautiful in love, people. Ah, so beautiful.
Oh,
cowbell.
Yes.
Ooh, air guitar.
Oh, I love it, man.
Are they like the better, lesser-known War?
Yes. They're like if War wrote down the shit they were going to say before they booked a session at the studio. Because War like show up at the mic and go like, why can't we work for the Mafia and I could work for
the CIA.
Okay, whose turn? I don't know. Get a steno pad, War, and write shit down, would you, please? So we don't fucking waste our time.
Yeah,
oh, Brian's back.
Oh, just in time.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Get some El Chicano. Fine. Why can't we be friends?
I have the best of.
Best of El Chicano?
Yeah, right here.
I'm
buying
that. There's no other El Chicano song I know.
Do they still tour?
Unless they covered Hey Jude. Well, the beauty of El Chicano, and by the way, here's what I've decided.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on music lessons for my kids or college. I'm simply going to come up with the college and the band, and no one will ever be able to check it or try it. So Dr. Drew was a Lord Jeff, or what do they change their names to?
The Lord Jeff's just changed something else.
Where'd he go? What the hell's the name?
Yeah, Amherst.
Amherst. I'm just going to tell my kids, look, just tell everyone you went to Amherst. Just tell everyone you went to Amherst. Tell
them
to Amherst. Learn two halls in one pizza joint and like one professor, and then just say you're a Chicano studies major. I want to leave you alone. And you just went to Amherst.
Yeah.
Good enough. No one wants to know anymore. And I'll save myself a few hundred grand.
Yep.
And then in the getting laid music department, you tell me you played, whoever you're trying to bang, you just tell me you played, you weren't the original, but you ended up playing bass for El Chicano when they toured. And they'll just go, oh yeah, cool. They'll play an El Chicano song. They'll go, cool. Then no one can ever vet you. No one will ever know. No one will ever go, oh yeah, I have a bass guitar in the trunk of my car. Let me bring it into the club. Prove it.
In terms of this is their most popular song on Spotify by far. It's called Sabor a Mi.
How many downloads?
Two?
This has 2 million.
Oh, 2 million.
Tell her she's lovely. It's 400,000.
So this is then Spanish language fans,
I'm
I guess.
So.
This didn't get a lot of turns on KHJ when I was a kid.
I like it.
So Tell Her She's Lovely is the biggest English-speaking one, I guess. What's the second one after Tell Her She's Lovely? We'll see.
Don't Put Me Down If I'm Brown.
What?
That's good.
Let's hear that
one. Drop.
Oh man, I love this group.
So far, so good.
Ah!
You're gonna get laid for sure.
Show is in.
This is so good.
You said they didn't have another hit unless they covered Hey Jude. One of their bigger hits is a cover of Brown Eyed Girl.
Oh, I play Brown Eyed Girl. That has to be their. Put a little Spanish flavor on Brown Eyed Girl.
Hey, Rodrigo.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Days when the rains came. Stripped down.
I like this.
Yeah.
I'm so happy your mom was a Chicano major. We would have never stumbled onto this.
Skipping and
If we ask your mom about the group El Chicano, she'll probably say, who are they?
She will have no idea.
Why'd you call me?
Yeah.
She'll tell me it's her penultimate favorite group.
I know, no, Adam. Oh. I love this. This is so sweet.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
This should be a wedding song.
Yeah. Listen to that. This is beautiful.
Oh.
That was fine.
Oh, it kicked in a little.
Oh, I love it.
That was cute.
Now you dance.
Wow. I put this on the party mix for the pool party, right?
Yes.
I want to hear this in the Corolla Digital Christmas party.
Yes.
Adam, I think you just saved their career, man. I think they're coming back.
A renaissance.
I swear to God.
Well, three of them are in prison and two are the victims of drive-by shooter. So the El Chicano, as we know it, doesn't exist
anymore.
Come
on, man.
All right, find out where El Chicano's playing. They're going to be the El Pollo Loco in Van Nuys.
Come on.
Serving.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're behind the counter.
Come on, man.
Find out if El Chicano's still around, Max Band. And then, hold on, let's put this up. Yeah, if you're throwing like the taco party,
come on, man.
No, I think
I mean that in a real way.
Oh my God.
I mean, you're having the taco
Imagine
truck
this
come to
live. Home. Imagine this live.
Break it down.
So hard to find my way. Yes.
That's what you do with remakes like Cat Stevens did with Sam Cooke's Saturday Night. Make it your own.
Yep. Yes.
I'm not seeing any shows at the moment, but they are still a band.
They are.
Yeah, everything is in.
Adam, you have to book them, man.
Yeah. They talk about them,
Till August, we got a tall order. I want either Lord or El Chicano in
Get El Chicano, man.
El Chicano.
You got it.
Adam Carolla presents
El Chicano.
El Chicano.
Or actually, Takati presents with Adam Carolla out on stage.
And that was Adam Carolla's Unprepared in studio. The very
now,
rare.
Now, Chris, there was some controversy there.
Why?
There were some balls that were left over from Anaheim that somehow were back in the hopper that you blamed on Rob Riggle. But in the earlier part of the intro, you said you guys intentionally put them in there. Dun, dun, dun.
Excuse me. We intentionally left
Rob
them in there.
Rob Riggle threw the balls in Rob.
Yeah. Well, no. There were about 40 balls in that bingo hopper. What I meant was we kept them in there. Like
yeah,
we never
removed unused
them.
Ones,
but we didn't take into account that they would be, the ones that were picked in Anaheim would be inserted back into the hopper, and we got burned of all the balls.
By
the,
Rob,
really?
You blame Rob?
I think it was Rob. Yeah, you hear me, Riggle? I see you. Come at me, bro. No, really, don't.
And that's one of the funniest episodes of the Adam Carolla Show ever, that episode with Rob Riggle, and that's what we're actually playing next. Adam Carolla Show 2466, Rob Riggle, Gina Grand, Brian Bishop. This was the second time the game was played. This chunk is just a tangent about MS-13, where Adam tries to frame Rob a little bit. It's pretty funny. Check it out.
Hey, can I say this too about MS-13 gang members?
Any MS-13 in the house?
Everybody.
Well, it is great.
They're
like
very
depending
proud.
Depending on what news channel you watch, the caravan is solely comprised of mothers and special needs kids, or it's a running pyramid of MS-13 gangbangers who are wearing bandolero belts and firing shots in the air. Depending, but this is how you know it's not news. You can't tell this group. It's wide open. You can fucking get a drone from Radio Shack, send it over the group, and find out whether it's comprised of these people or those people. No. You turn it over to Fox, like, it is a giant rolling ball of MS-13 gangbangers with they're smuggling heroin and human trafficking inside. That's the nougat. Inside of the
ball.
That's
what propels it.
And they're just rolling across the border. And then you turn on Rachel Maddow, and she's crying, going, "These are special needs children, and they're tutors." That's all. They've come here to get a mani-pedi and go home. That's it. Why are we doing this? And I'm like, how can both of you call yourselves fucking news? Jesus Christ.
Good point.
Thank you. Oh, shit. Brian, I thought you said earlier. Who hears from? I misheard it because I was dealing with this loud thing. Did you actually say who hears from MS-13?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. I did hear you correctly. I did hear you correctly.
Joke's on them. We have nice agent stations all throughout the building.
So. I wanted to say this. Any MS-13 members here tonight and or potential MS-13
members. Pretty hard to identify, Adam. They're pretty hard to identify.
You getting the forehead tattoo that says, yes, I am. And MS-13 is not a great strategy. Like, these guys do full facial. I am, and it's fine if you're going to hang out in your native Honduras or wherever you are. But if you're going to try to sneak into neighboring countries with full facial tattoos, like MS-13, you guys should get tattoos.
Oh God! There
right.
We go.
Where's he going?
It's tough to fly under the radar.
Harvard.
Hello, border, nice man. Yes, we're just a gay couple who's come into your fair country to adopt.
I can see
him at a TGI Fridays. How about some jalapeno poppers,
yes,
guys?
Yeah. MS-13, no good with the facial tattoos. I will say this. I got a couple things to say. One is, if you're going to join MS-13... you should get your tattoo in the same spot chicks get the butterfly tattoo. Which is like, okay, let me show you. Let me pull it. You know, yes, something needs to be untucked. Something needs to be peeled down in order for me to tell where you're going and what you've done with this tattoo. When you put it on your fucking face, it's hard. Yeah. And then also, will you guys agree with me? Because I did see them go down to like Nicaragua or Honduras or wherever the MS-13 clubhouse is, and they showed all these guys in prison. If you come from a country where your prison bars are made out of rebar, that's a bad fucking sign. But you're like, we haven't even invented prison bars. Yeah. We have number 4 rebar, and we just weld it together, and we make it great.
And that's just because the concrete fell out.
Inside the concrete. It was reinforced.
When I was in the Cook Islands a few years ago, I begged my friends to let us go visit the prison in Rarotonga, and we got there, and it was empty. And we asked the guard where everyone is, and they said they get to go home for lunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, every day.
I sort of like the other countries who do the thing, which is your wife still has to cook for you, even though you're in prison now for poisoning her.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah. And that was Rob Riggle at the Grove of Anaheim live with all the guys back in 2018. And you're right, Drew, that was one of the best live shows we've ever done.
Rob Riggle, his power with Adam Carolla and how he amplifies Adam's comedy is remarkable. There's other people who have done it in the past and people who still do it. Joe Coy does it. Kimmel, of course, does it. But there's a special thing that Rob does. It's indescribable almost.
Yeah. And he just gets along with the gang so well. He's so quick. I mean, he's a master improviser in his own right. And he just brings a nice flavor to the show.
So fun, so smart. He's like you never have to worry about Rob Riggle.
That's right. That's exactly right. There are certain guests where when they come in, I actually am a little more at ease because they're coming in and I know that my job got a lot easier because they're
time
so
to break out the Chris Flash.
They're so funny. That's right. So Rob is just insanely cool. And you know what else is cool, Gio? What? Tommy John's Cool Cotton. That's right.
All throughout the summer it is.
It's hot. It's summertime right now. It's July in California where I'm recording this, and it's 8 p.m. at the time where I'm speaking right now, and it's still super hot out here. So what keeps me cool is Tommy John's Cool Cotton. It's like having my own on-body air conditioning.
Indeed.
Tommy John, you know, then they make the best underwear, loungewear, everything for men and women. And all of their layers are built for next level comfort, whether you want lounge pants, lazy day joggers, or just anything you want to wear around the house, Tommy John got you. Or even outside the house, whatever. And for a limited time, if you go to TommyJohn.com/classics, you'll get 20% off site wide. That's TommyJohn.com/classics. For 20% off site-wide, TommyJohn.com/classics. See site for details. All right, Gia, we got a listener request, and I'm going to remind everybody how to write in this request. Email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, or you can tweet us, @GiovanniGiorgio, @ChrisLoxamana. We're also on Instagram, Facebook. Let us know what you want to hear. This one was sent to us on Twitter by @ToonLover. @ToonLover. What do you say?
Yeah. I heart me some ACS every day. In fact, I'm torqued. I guess maybe like a UK slang. I'm not sure. To be stuck with classics on the weekend. But Chris Loxman and Gina Giovanni Giorgio do a great job with that deal, so I survive.
All right.
But I'm really starting to appreciate just how genius these Chet Waterhouse bits are. Accessible archive, please. Well, there is an archive, Podcast One Premium. You can get all the past episodes. You can also search for, you know, various guest appearances, things like that. And then also there's classics, where we'll just play a classic bit with Chet Waterhouse. This is Adam Carolla Show 2134, featuring Blink-180 True, the cover band, or the tribute band, however they like to be referred, Jeff Cesario, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. And this episode's from August of 2017. Check it out.
Tom, 31, Florida. Tom?
Ace man. What's going on, brother?
Going on, man.
Not much. I just wanted to get your take. Usually you don't like to be a one-upper, like you said before, but I want to see if you can one-up me. I was on a road trip back down to Florida, had to stop off the highway to get some gas. Where I ended up having no gas was kind of a rougher trade type neighborhood with some not so nice people kind of standing around.
Yeah. It's Leno said night. Don't keep the cars there.
Yes. Yeah, it's not the best area. So I had the radio on. I had the volume pretty loud to kind of keep me awake. And as I'm opening the door with kind of all these gentlemen standing around, the Goo Goo Dolls song from that City of Angels movie is blaring on my radio. And can you think of a worse song that could have been playing at that moment for me?
It's pretty Tool Toony.
You wanted
pretty
to get
Tool
robbed.
Toony.
I might go Boy George.
Yeah, there's like, you know, some gay stuff.
That might be trouble.
Yeah, One Night in Bangkok.
You gotta find one night
in Bangkok, and I think I'll one up you with One Night in Bangkok, because I think this is possibly the gayest song ever written.
Benny or Bjorn, I can't remember which ABBA member wrote this.
Oh, he wrote?
Yeah, because it was for the musical Chess.
Oh, this song.
One Night in Bangkok. Oh,
I mean,
wow. But embarrassing.
Bjorn wrote One Night in Bangkok?
I believe so, right, Gary?
Jesus Christ.
Wow. So wrote, yeah.
Yep. I had, I know, okay. So, sorry, Dawson has it. Go ahead, Dawson.
Here we go.
Bangkok, Oriental City, the city don't know where the city is.
It's pretty Tool Toony, Sam.
Turn it up. With the Nova!
Yul Brynner.
When he says, I get my kicks below the Beltline, sunshine. That's the gayest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And I've heard a lot of gay.
Yeah. Please let it play to the hook. Or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's blockbuster. I didn't know. Why is this an ABBA, Bjorn?
Not ABBA specifically, but
right.
Yeah.
Why did he write this song?
What?
It's for a play?
No, wasn't this from, like, I'm asking you, I believe this was from the musical Chess. Yes.
He said something about chess in here already.
Yeah.
I've
never seen it. I've avoided it.
This is so inappropriate at a bad neighborhood gas station that the other scared white guy who pulled in might shoot you.
The only thing that I think rivals this, just because you trip the wire now for this kind of music, is like Taco putting on the Ritz.
Yeah, but not this. This is worse. Will we play it until he says he gets his kicks below the belt line? Or above.
Kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
That's great.
So catty.
That is, right. You can hear the finger waving in
That's
your face.
Right.
That
okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Let's do a little cheer. You ready for a little Chet?
Sure.
A little Chet Waterhouse. Sports?
All right.
Oh, hold on.
That's more a new intro for Chet.
All right, here we go.
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Weekend, brought to you by Sweet Coast Penicillin Nut Bar. Munch the pain away with Sweet Coat. South America's pastime, baseball. This just in. I don't know if you guys heard this, Adam. Pete Rose slept with a 16-year-old girl when he was 34 years old, married, and the father of two. Said Rose, "I beat the odds." The Baseball Hall of Fame said this kills all hope of Rose getting in. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is sniffing around. Rose works as a Fox analyst, so he can expect a pay raise this month. That Pete Rose update brought to you by Yo-Yo Tires. If you get stuck, just pull the string. Comeback of the year, 40-year-old former New York Met bigamist pitcher Bartolo Colon threw a complete game victory for the Minnesota Twins this week. That item brought to you by Bartolo Colon Cologne. If you want to smell good enough to get two completely separate families, try Bartolo Colon Cologne. NFL, Tom Brady turned 40 this week, and after receiving the play call from Belichick on the sidelines, took Giselle out for seafood. College football, shocker! Alabama number one in the Amway preseason poll. It's Amway, so someone knocked on my door at 7 a.m. and I had to buy a tangerine hand soap to get the pull. That item brought to you by Transvestites, time-tested sexual deviancy you can trust. If you want more of me, I'll be calling the ABC Tuesday Spectacular. This week, a tiger chases Usain Bolt, who chases a shark that's chasing Michael Phelps. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Always love it. Just love it.
Smell it good enough to have two families?
Two completely separate families.
Loved it on Kevin and Bean. How was it, 1 year or multiple years?
I did almost 2 years on Kevin and Bean.
Almost 2 years. So like 92 to 93 and a half.
Somewhere in
or
there, yeah, yeah.
Like
right
that.
Around there. Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Then Jimmy Kimmel jumped in.
But wisely, they chose someone in-house and someone who was willing to come in every morning. I believe he was already, you know, and he had a little wider vision.
Jimmy didn't get there, I don't believe. It's that kind of thing when you're young and someone's a grade above you and you go, that guy's old dude, yeah. But he's 9 months older than you. And now you get old and that doesn't make a difference. But Jimmy, who'd been at K-Rock, who was like a seasoned veteran in my mind, I think he got there in like February and I got there in May of the same year, but he was there.
He was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
And he was there every day. And so he filled in, but you can never fill the large, what kind of shoes would Chet Waterhouse
cleats?
Wear? Wing large
tips.
Cleats or wingtips of Chet Waterhouse.
That but compliment brought to you by Rectories, unhealthily isolating priests for over 18 centuries.
Sean Barry and Bob Amendola are in here. We'll bring them in. They're a Blink 182 tribute band. I think they go with tribute. Do we go with tribute? Don't we like tribute? I can't. There's certain things in the car world. There's a tribute car and then there's a clone car.
Oh, they're
really
different.
Like, they don't like, no, they're the same.
Oh, no, but I'm saying
that people don't like them being called clones.
Yeah,
like tribute.
Tribute band or cover band.
Right. Yeah, they're saying cover band now. I have a tribute band now because I think there's something derogatory.
Cover. But does cover mean you do multiple bands?
They got tribute
in
on their website.
Case, yes.
Tribute means you do one band. Anyway, we'll bring them in here and we'll talk to them first. Laugh Factory tonight. Monday night.
Thank you.
Tickets at Laugh Factory Hollywood website. And check out Jeff Cesaro if you'd like. And I think you should. Jeff Cesaro. That's CESARIO.com for all things Jeff.
And that episode of Chet Waterhouse is brought to you by Bananas, the bananas that ripen tomorrow. I know I really butchered that one, but love Chet Waterhouse.
He has so many brilliant ones. I mean, like, people will cite like one or two, and it's like, yeah, that's hilarious. It's great. It's the funniest thing ever. But then there's 12 other ones that are just as funny. And then the next time he comes in, they're just as funny or they're funnier. He never has a dud.
Yeah, you're right. He's a master at that. And if you really love Jeff, he's actually on The Water Cooler, the show I do with the Corolla staff. The entire episode.
I watched it.
Oh, you watched it? Yeah, it's on YouTube as well. So check it out. Jeff Cesaro on The Water Cooler.
Oh, yeah. I fully switched over to your YouTube videos for your podcast. I've now watched most of my podcast on YouTube. I have no idea how it happened.
Look.
It was one of the only shows I do YouTube and audio just to make sure everything's in both versions.
I think it's kind of fun to see the inflection of people when they talk. It's almost akin to the difference between a text message and a phone call. that you just seeing the facial expressions of people when they talk, it just it just adds so much more.
It does.
So yeah, thanks for checking it out. youtube.com/AdamCurl for his, and just Google water cooler Jeff Cesario for mine. All right, let's get going with another clip. AJ Bame came in earlier this week, and he is just so knowledgeable. Always love when he comes in, and he did a lot with the 24-Hour War, Adam's documentary on Ford v. Ferrari. And you heard how great he is. He came in to talk about Truman versus Dewey election, and now we're going to play a clip from him back in 2014.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how Adam kept thinking that he was, like, litigious or there's something going on between him and the movie that got made without his script and Go Like Hell. And so I wanted to play a choice clip from this episode to see if we could determine if it came up here or not. And maybe it's just something they talked about off-air and unrelated. So until we find out, Adam Carolla Show 1439 from October of 2014, AJ Bame.
When you see Paul Newman, like, at age 61, get out of the car and pull his helmet off. 26-year-old chicks, my wife and her hot friend who are, like, watching the show. They're not 26, but younger chicks, like, watch that and go, oh, he's so hot. And it's like, there's no such thing as the 61-year-old woman who climbs out of the swimming pool and a bunch of young dudes. The piercing blue eyes that somehow got better looking when the gray hair kicked in. It's just fucking mesmerizing. It's you understand why the guy was a big star, but also those shots where he's like holding the helmet under his arm and wearing his fire suit, it looked like somebody, he's posing for a portrait.
There's this scene in the movie Absence of Malice. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't show up in that movie until, like, I don't know, 10 minutes in. But the first scene he's in, the first 30 seconds you see him, he doesn't have a line. He just walks into a newsroom and stands in front of this woman's desk and commands the entire picture. And that's what it's like seeing him in this racing footage, because all you got to do is see him. He's just mesmerizing.
Yeah, I know. And it's so weird, but it's the non-gearhead chicks like it every bit as much as the gearhead dudes do, because they're just staring at Newman the whole time. And there's something about the fire suit. You know, it's almost the knight's armor, the gladiator stuff or something. Just, you look like such a hero leaning against that car in your fire suit.
And, oh, by the way, terrifically talented driver.
Yeah. Won 4 national championships. So that'll be good. And thank you for... showed AJ a first 20 minutes of it, and thank you. That means a lot. Somebody who's been around the block as many times as you have and appreciates it. So I do appreciate it. And I'll let you see the whole thing. It's not me. All I did was assemble all the people and told the story that for some reason hasn't really been told. I'm not sure why, but now it shall be told. But forget about my story. Let's talk about your story for 1 second. So the movie gets optioned, right? And first off, that must have been incredible to hear names like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, right?
Oh, it's insane. It's insane.
But it's a story, and I think, you know, when you see a really good documentary like King of Kong, you don't watch it and go, oh, my God, why didn't I think of this? Or what took so long? But when you see the Newman racing doc, you go, oh, why didn't I think of this? What took so long? But when you think about something like Go Like Hell, and you think about Ferrari, and you think about Ford, and you think about Le Mans, you're like, what? What'd it take? What? Why'd it take 50 years for this to come out?
I can tell you this. I remember my agent, this guy, a wonderful man named Scott Waxman, I called him up one day, and we talked about this book idea, and I'm like, well, it's like about, you know, Ford versus Ferrari at the most important race in the world. Boom, sold. And he's like, that's a book. That's a movie. That's everything. And it is. And we wrote the proposal to be a book proposal and a film proposal because it's just such a no-brainer story for the screen.
And so these guys option it, which means they buy it for a certain amount of years, or they have they use the book as what? A menu to... For the screenplay, I'm sorry for sounding super naive, but sometimes the guys who write the book write the screenplay. Sometimes they buy the book and give it to the guy to read it and then write the screenplay. Where are you guys at with it?
Well, 20th Century Fox bought the rights to the book in 2008, so even before it came out. Okay.
Wow.
I think they'd seen some drafts of it, and you know, so much has happened in that time. You know, I'm not the screenplay. I'm the history nerd. I'm the guy who goes digging at, you know, digging through people's files and finding old people and interviewing them. I don't know how to write a screenplay. So they brought in the big guns for that because it's, you know, if and when that movie gets made, it's a huge, there's no way to do it for cheap. It's a huge movie.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, and there's ways to do romantic comedies and many other genres, horror films and things like that on the cheap. I don't know how you do 1960s Le Mans on the cheap. I mean, just the cars, just the garb, just the amount of extras you need to fill up Le Mans. I mean, 300,000 people showed up to this event. This is like saying we're doing a Super Bowl movie times three from the 60s on the cheap. It's just, it's going to be impossible. You just got, first off, just gathering all those cars and putting them in I'm guessing, France. You know, I don't know. Yeah, there's, and all the footage, and I mean, all the crazy in car, this, that, and the other. I mean, it's impossible to do this movie cheaply. So it's a big movie.
It is a big movie. I'm not a filmmaker, so I have no idea. But when I think of it, sometimes I just think of it like Gladiator. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They had to build like ancient Rome. You know, if they can right. do that, they can do anything.
So, Carol Shelby, who died very recently, who was the oldest living triple organ recipient, heart. Did you know this?
Yeah, I mean, as I say in the book at the end, he's made of used parts now.
It totally insane who built this crazy empire who, you know, and God knows, you know, it was funny. I was thinking about all these guys who died in these Ferraris and how these cars were just completely destroyed. And as a guy's into the preservation part of the whole thing, I think about, you know, some of these, you always hear about the Ferrari GTO and the $40 million car, $35, $50 million car, but they made 34 of those. These cars that a lot of these guys that we were aforementioned were killed in, there were one, two, maybe three of those cars. I mean, some of those cars, if they were around today, would just be worth millions and millions, and when I say millions and millions, I mean more than $45 or $50 million on some of those cars, those Grand Prix cars, some of those GT cars from the day, so to speak. And those things were probably just buried by the side of Le Mans, right?
Jeez, I mean, I think you're right. You know, the first time I went to the Ferrari factory, I went into the custom shop, the vintage shop where they do restorations in there. And we went into the library and pulled out the blueprints of the 330 P3, which I think still today is the most beautiful automobile ever created. I don't even know how many they made, six, five, eight of them. I have no idea. And there was a P3, actually it was a P4, in the shop at the time. And just
show
to
us
look
a picture
at it.
One, I think, if you're ready for your mind to be blown, I think one of those raced around a little while. The thing that's crazy about those cars is, those cars were worth about as much as a Victoria's Secret model 20 years after their prime, except for 3 years after their prime. Like, what are you going to do with them? They're technologically, you saw how fast things moved at Le Mans, right?
Oh, yeah. In
5 years or 3 years, completely obsolete, the car that ran 3 years earlier, right?
Look at it this way. The guys, a bunch of guys, I've heard this story. I don't know if it's apocryphal, but after 64, when Shelby raised some Cobras there, it cost too much money to take those Cobras and ship them back to America. So they just left them there. And any one of those cars would be worth well into the seven figures now.
Right. All right. There's the P3. That's P4. Sorry.
P4.
Yeah. Close to a P3. What people don't realize is they didn't know what to do with those cars. So you imagine, here you are running these crazy cars in the mid-60s, 66, 67, 68. Well, now it's 1975. What are you going to do with this car? It's not worth it. You can't be competitive with it. The technology's moved on too quickly. So you take this car and you get what you can get for it. $6,000, $8,000, whatever. Well, now the car's $21 million. And one of the guys in the film, for instance, Bob Bondurant, Bob Bondurant bought the Shelby Daytona that won the Manufacturers Championship.
Does he still have it?
But so Shelby, after the racing year, Shelby'd be like standing around his shop in Venice going, "Is anyone want this? Come on, man. Give me $3,200 you have that you can have this car." And everyone would be like, first off, $3,200 is a lot of money. And secondly, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this old race car? There's no vintage racing and there's no anything. Bondurant told me himself, Bob Bondurant, from the racing school and the world champion and everything. And drove, Bondurant drove one of the GT40s, right?
Yeah, he did. He also, he was in the, when the Cobra won, I think in 64, the GT class, he was in the car.
He bought the Cobra Daytona, not the little coupe, but the Daytona. And I said, "Well, Bob, what'd you buy it for?" And I think he said he bought it for about $3,500. Sounds about right, you know, 1966 or whatever it was. I said, "What'd you sell it for?" He said, "Sold it for 10 grand.
Oh,
sold it for 10 grand. And he sold it for 10 grand in, I don't know, 71. Now, he used the money to start his racing school. So, you know, all right. But the thing sold at Mecum, and this is 5 years ago, the thing sold for like 8.4 million. So, but now imagine buying a 7.5. And again, this is 4 or 5 years ago. So it's over 10 now easily. But imagine if you bought a car, let's say, let's just say back then $3,500. Let's just say it was $35,000. What if somebody said you paid $35,000 for your car and I'm gonna offer you $100,000 for it, you know, 3 years later, whatever it is? You'd think you're a pretty fucking shrewd dude.
You would. I mean, back then I think they had no idea that these cars were gonna appreciate a penny. And the other thing is, like, they probably thought, like, I don't want to be responsible for the upkeep of this piece of shit, you know?
Right. Now, what you bring up the Ferrari P3 or P4. It turns out one of them came to Hollywood. And, again, they didn't know what to fucking do with these cars. One that ran at Le Mans, but it's retired. It's no good anymore 5 years later. Dean Martin's son gets a hold of it.
Oh, I heard this story.
And, like, makes it into like a Targa top, like chops the top off it and puts some cool like ducts or something on it, you know, so it could cool off, that it didn't overheat or whatever. And he's driving up and down Sunset Boulevard.
I heard that story and I think I've seen pictures of him doing that, and people are just standing on the sidewalk like, what is that?
And then later on the thing gets all put back together and now that car's $30 million.
Oops, so right.
All right, speaking of money, you like to make some money? DraftKings, baby. My listeners are winning huge cash prizes at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. No season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Injured players? No problemo. You go to DraftKings, man. You have fun. Pick your team. You do it in minutes. And you'll be on your way to winning instant cash. Get free entry into the $100,000 contest this weekend. First place takes home 10 grand. It's DraftKings, baby. Dawson, DraftKings.
Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code Adam to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter Adam for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Tanner, 24.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
I have a question. If totally hypothetical question, if you could have any guests on your podcast tomorrow, anyone in the world, who would it be?
Enzo Ferrari.
Good answer.
What about this hypothesis, AJ Bain? Enzo Ferrari, the old man, watched these young drivers around him just die left and right. And I was thinking about this sort of psychological dynamic of a guy who could literally watch all of these people die around him, left and right, young men. And in the book, you talk about the fact that, I'm paraphrasing, but like a true Italian guy, he basically says a man can lust after a woman, but a man only truly loves his son. My fucking dad's full-blown Italian. Can you believe this, asshole? It's insane how much my dad doesn't give a shit. I should have fucking let him hang out with Enzo a little bit. But the point is he makes the point, and I sort of understand it. Like, you can appreciate a woman, and you can lust after her and desire after her, but your son, that's the real love. That's your blood. And his son, Dino, died, and it broke his heart. And Dino died, I think, when Dino was like 24. And it destroyed Enzo. And then Enzo watched a never-ending string of 24, 25, 28-year-old men, sons, die right in front of him. Basically, he built the car, they got in it, they died. And I wonder if once Dino died, that left some sort of hole in him. I don't think it was a perverse thing, like, you must die so other men can feel the pain that and the anguish that I feel, but something happened that he lost his boy, and then everyone else lost their boys driving his cars.
It's such a complicated thing to talk about, but what made him so fascinating to write about is he would do these interviews and say these incredibly shocking things, like some of the things that you're talking about right now. And one of the implications, it's suggested, he never came out and said this, but he, you know, it was clearly suggested that his race cars were his children. He named them Dino.
Right.
And they were as important to him as, you know, it was very much a question people would ask him, well, what is more important, the car or the person driving it? And he really, I don't think I ever read that he would actually answer that question straight on.
Right.
But that was the implication, that the cars were, you know, more important. They were his real children, not the drivers. The other way to look at it is he was like another brilliant, genius megalomaniac. And I think that he thought that his Ferrari racing team really, truly was a national treasure. And maybe it was.
I think it was, but again, it's weird how Italy turned on him for being sort of a killer and then came back to him later when he was talking about selling to Ferrari and went like, you can't sell. This is our pride. Hey, Keith, 27, Washington.
Yep.
What's going on, man?
No, not much, man. So my question is, my girlfriend and I are trying to find this apartment, but we got this 115-pound bulldog, and no place will pay us. I'm trying to find a nice place. I've found a kind of a loophole. I'm wondering if this puts me in the same category as the asshole to bring the dogs off the plane. Because if I get him certified as a service animal, I can move in wherever I want.
Yeah, so, you're morbidly obese. A bulldog is going to be your service pet. Hey, Keith, why don't you guys rent a house and not do an apartment?
Well, that's what we're trying to do, but even nice houses, man, no pets.
Oh, really? I feel if you rent a house, you can do the pet. And look, I'll say the same thing I say to everyone about kids. If you can't fucking afford a place, don't have a huge bulldog. Like, don't get the huge bulldog and then get the house. Don't have the nine kids and then get the house or then get the job. Get the fucking job, get the fucking house, then get the fucking bulldog. That's my insane...
That's
by the way, that's my controversial approach to life. That's the part that makes me very controversial. I tell people, well, go ahead and hold off on the kids.
You're telling people to actually be responsible for themselves?
I'm telling them that I would like them to pay for their children's breakfast because symbolically it's important, I think, that you provide breakfast for your children.
Symbolically, not in actuality.
In actuality and symbolically, but me, I don't need to pay for your kids' breakfast. That, by the way, is a very radical... Today, that's a radical thought. Oh, God, I wish you pussies were in charge when we had to go out and win a fucking war. Could you goddamn imagine? Could you goddamn imagine these pussy assholes who fucking never stop yelling at me about the super controversial? I'd love to just to tap Henry Ford on the fucking shoulder or Enzo Ferrari on the shoulder and go, would it be okay to feed your own kids or is that somebody else's job? They'd be fucking confused.
Yeah.
They'd have no fucking idea what the question was. Ugh. Hey, Chris, 41, Virginia.
Hey, I got a quick question for you here. I just read an article about the California legislature, mm-hmm. and it says they are exploring a road usage tax to replace the state gas tax. And I wanted to see, since you spend half your life in your car, what you think about a road usage tax instead of a state gas tax.
I will literally pay everybody $10 to stay home when I have to be at Huntington Beach from Pasadena at 8 a.m. in the morning. Like, I don't mind. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the concept. What I worry about is L.A. and California just charge shitloads in taxes, provide nothing, and then when you go, hey, the school systems don't work, the roads don't work, nothing works, they go, yeah, if only we had some money. And you go, what do you mean? You charged the most out of just about any state and nothing works. And they go, yeah, a little more money, I think we could fix this problem. And I'm like, I'm not sure if that's going to fix anything based on the fucking vast amounts of money we've been spending while the schools fall apart and the roads crumble. Yes, AJ,
here's my
sorry.
Question. I'm a new resident of California. I've been here for, 3 months? I'm from the East Coast, okay? What I don't get is the property tax system here, okay? So people say, you know, I should keep my goddamn mouth shut right now because where I live, my taxes are like X amount of dollars, okay? If I lived on the East Coast, they would literally be four times what they are here. And that's why this state doesn't, you know, has a budget problem. That's why there's no money for the schools. But I really would prefer that my property tax did not go up. So that's my 2 cents.
But the schools spend more money here than they spend in almost any state. They're just fuck-ups.
I don't know what it is. The schools my kids go to are magnificent. They're public schools right here in California.
Really? You must live in a rare, good, usable neighborhood. How old are your kids?
That's why I moved there, 10 and 7.
Oh, so they must be going to Carpenter or something.
I don't even know what that is. I live hours from here.
Oh, you do?
Know. I'm afraid of Los Angeles.
Oh, you live hours from Los Angeles. Oh, well, then you're fine. Then you don't have to worry about a thing.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, as long as we're going there, the whole North versus South California thing is very confusing because we have no water because all of our water, just you can see it just running south down, you know, all the way to you guys.
Daddy needs a putting green. So the book is called The Arsenal of Democracy, and if it's any, and again, I'm just being honest, I started with Go Like Hell, and I'm going to work myself to Arsenal of Democracy, because Go Like Hell is so wonderfully descriptive and so well-crafted and just absolutely amazing. What I did is I read about the first, I don't know, 25 pages on the airplane, and then decided, fuck it, I'm just getting it on audio. And I've been listening to it on audio ever since. Just actually listening to it this afternoon when Mike Augustin called and said that AJ was nearby. I was listening to it as I was driving along.
Nice.
So it's really, really well crafted, and I can see why Tom and Brad and the rest of the boys jumped on it. Arsenal Democracy, again, available on Amazon, and click through and give us a hand.
And that was AJ Bain back in 2014. All right, before we get going with this next clip, I want to remind everybody, Geico. You know Geico, but did you know that right now they're offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and...
What about my RV?
Oh, I was just going to get there, Gio. RV policies as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So,
say what?
What are you waiting for? This is a hot deal. Hot deal alert. 15% off on top of the money that Geico could already save you. So, there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save that extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Just visit geico.com to learn more. All right, Gio, we have another request. This is from @BastardRobo on Twitter.
I believe his name is Chris. He wants to request a classics episode. He says, I got a classics request. Can you find the Big Tad Vegas story that Tad and Adam told on stage? I'm 90% sure it was in an Ontario improv set. As I recall, Tad mentioned he was working in Barstow. He's very correct. It was Ontario, and it was a live show. Adam Carolla Show 640, Greg Fitzsimmons, Big Tad, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This is from August 17th, 2011.
Thanks for coming out tonight. That is Allison Rosen over there.
Hi, everyone. Hello.
Bald Brian is on the Casio.
I waited for you, man.
Thank you very much. Greg Fitzsimmons is in the back. We'll bring him out momentarily. I rarely say this, but where is Big Tad? Is Big Tad here tonight? Oh, there he is. Big Tad, come up here on stage for a second. On the stay on the reinforced part of the stage, if you could. There's a girder that runs right here. Good to see you, Big Tad. Pick up a microphone, please.
Hey, Adam, what's going on?
Good to see you, Big Tad. Now, a lot of people remember Big Tad from the K-Rock days way back and my radio show. Have a seat on that reinforced stool, Big Tad.
You're going to keep me here for a little bit?
Little bit, Big Tad. Somebody, just as I was walking in, said, Big Tad is here, and about the last time... I normally don't get this far from my house without going to Vegas.
True that.
And this, in my mind, is about halfway to Vegas, as far as I can tell. And there's a story about me and you and your brother.
Oh, no.
And a man named Jimmy Kimmel driving to Vegas.
Yeah.
In a rented van.
For my birthday. For my 21st birthday.
For Big Tad's 21st birthday. Every once in a while, Jimmy and I like to have a laugh, where I'd say, how much to take that trip in a van with Big Tad and his brother to Vegas for that long weekend again? And Jimmy will think about it and go, somewhere between $80,000 and $140,000. And I go, how about you? And I'm more in the $60,000 range. But back then, we decided to do it for free.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way.
It was Big Tad's 21st birthday, and we decided, and I don't know why we decided this, because we were 30 by this point, that we should rent a van, that we should put the four of us in it, that we should go to Vegas, that the four of us, whose combined weight at the time was over a metric ton, should stay in the same shitty hotel room.
Oh my God.
Way off the strip.
Yeah.
I think it's been torn down. Jimmy lost his virginity in the parking lot. I mean, it was not. He was 30. Obviously, this was 6 months earlier. But
don't forget, you and Jimmy shared a bed, and me and my brother shared a bed. Yes. That was great.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
We lovingly shared a single bed, and few things happened. Oh, well, by the way, Jimmy didn't lose his virginity to a woman. It was to one of those parking blocks. But it was in the parking lot at the... Now, what was that?
Was it like the Terrible Hotel or something? It was one of those?
Cookie Jar and the Crumbs were playing there. Do you remember that?
I remember Cookie Jar.
I mean, yep. Practically the Rat Pack.
I'm surprised you're able to even get a room.
Yeah.
With them in town.
I'll figure out the name of the hotel. August, I yelled it out when we were there 2 weeks ago, but I can't remember what it was. But the McCormick or something. Like someplace you'd never heard of. It was like a story and a half. It was like not a real casino.
I'm sure they charged beautiful by place. The hour.
Yeah. And Cookie looked like Otis Day from Otis Day and the Nights and gave Jimmy one of those looks. And Jimmy... Jimmy walked in. Jimmy was like, Cookie, my man. And he's like, what?
That's him.
I couldn't tell if he was a really dark white guy or a really light dark guy. He had hair like Cher from the 70s.
You mind if we dance up your dates?
Yeah. So it was, but what I remember most is the ride over.
Yes.
Jimmy said to me, listen, man. If we're going to go on a five-hour van ride with just dudes, and one of them is going to be Big Tad, and the other is going to be you and his brother, I am going to load up my colon. And I'm going, this is going to be, I'm going to gas you guys like a, this is going to be like one of those trains going to Auschwitz. It's not going to be a van ride. And
too soon.
And He came to my house.
There it is, right there. Continental Hotel.
The Continental. We started at my house, at my apartment. And Jimmy walked in and proudly announced to me that he ate a can of raw clams. That was the first thing out of his mouth. He said, I ate a whole can. I said, you like raw clams? He said, no, I do not. I do not. They don't agree with me at all. And that's the point.
He's a warrior.
Yeah, he's a warrior. And he ate a can of raw clams and then, like, some handful of pinto beans and, like, a Fresca. And he said, it is on. It is on. And then we drove out to God knows where and picked up your brother, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, he was with me. We were in Burbank. And, you guys had to come pick me up after the Kevin and Bean show. Mm-hmm. And then we headed out to Vegas.
Now, at the time, your brother was working as a male stripper.
We had to bring that up?
Yes, we did.
Yep.
Big Tad's brother was working. Too soon.
Never too soon for some cherry pie. Rest in peace, Janie Lane.
So, Big Tad's brother, who changed his name. Now, on his driver's license, it said what? What was his?
It said Tim.
Tim.
Yes.
Tim. But yes. He changed his name to?
T.C. Thrasher.
T.C. Thrasher. Which... Hey, everybody. Welcome to stage. Don't worry. He does not share the same thyroid condition as his brother, T. Chance Thrasher. Yes. And it was T. Chance Thrasher.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And white guy. And... If there was
bodybuilder, don't forget bodybuilder.
And he had a son that he just named Blade Thrasher.
Blade, yep. Yes.
Hey, everybody. Joining his father on the stage, a rare treat, father-son duo. Watch them shake their moneymakers. Blade, T-Chance Thrasher.
I've missed you, Adam.
I know. Yeah. So there was T-Chance and Tad, and we all got into the same van, and the doors closed, and we started onto the highway on our five-hour trip to Vegas, and Jimmy said, boys, you're in for a world of pain, because those clams have been percolating quite nicely.
If you remember, you guys were in the front, I was in the middle, and my brother was laying in the back.
Just laying in the back.
Yep.
Reading, by the way, one of those books... from like the 60s that was dog-eared and had the library sticker on it and stuff. And it was like 22 habits of super successful people in the business world. But it was like from 1963 or something. Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Right?
Yep.
Right.
I suspect one of them is not checking this book out from the library.
Well, maybe not. But he's laying in the back because we're in like some kind of... van conversion, you know, it's basically a van with a sofa in the back and, you know, some opera windows or something. And I'm sitting there in the captain's chair listening to a Blaupunk and we got our party, you know, mix Vegas cassette in there. And Jimmy says, all right, boys, be prepared because I come loaded for bear. And he leans over and he lets a fart go. And it's... you know, it's a 5.5 to, you know, it's a 6.
On a scale of what?
1 to 10, it's a 5.5. Like, you know, it's a solid Jimmy fart, you know?
Right.
And T. Chance in the back sits up and says, oh, is it on?
Uh-oh.
And,
Now, wait a minute. You got to remember, he is a bodybuilder, so he is eating nothing but healthy food.
Right,
and
he ate...
And that smells worse than clams, actually.
He ate, like, a sack of creatine and beef liver tablets or something. And he just sort of put his rules of success book down on his side and said, is it on? And Tad said, yeah, I guess it's on.
It's on.
And then he just leaned over and let something ungodly... come out of his ass. Jimmy was, you know, weeping and applauding, like, because he had a respect for him. He had to have a certain respect for him.
Well, what's funny is we had the air conditioner going, and then all of a sudden these guys said, oh, man, we got to open up a window. Now, remember, they're in the front of the van. So as soon as the van opens, all the air from the back comes to the front.
It became weaponized almost immediately. Like it was contained to just the blast zone. But as soon as that gust of hot air hit, it was like whoop. And it was just like a convection, swirl convection, you know.
Like I don't think I've ever seen you cry, Adam.
My lungs like inflated with his ass juice in it. And I was like, oh, God, no. And he was like, oh, God, yes. And by the way, this is just your long national nightmare has just begun, my friend. And Jimmy tried to hunker down and, you know, leaned over and popped out like a 3.5 and Chance said, okay, boom, another haymaker. And somewhere around Zizix or Baker, I said, is this fucking going to end? Is this ever going to end?
No.
And Tad said, oh, no. No. And I said, well, what's going on? And he, it was like, to me, it was like seeing a guy just get up and hit 9 home runs in a row, all 500 plus feet. And Tad was basically pitching his batting coach saying, oh, no, he does this all day long. And I said, are you shitting me? Are you kidding me?
Oh, no.
And all the fucking way to Vegas, all the way back from Vegas, in Vegas, in the hotel room, nonstop ass attack.
Did he time them? Was there a rhythm to it? Or was it like sneak attack?
I think one every 2-3 minutes.
Every 2-3 minutes, nonstop, didn't take a break. There was no let up in his ass cheeks at all. Just
he's my new hero.
There's no break anymore.
I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean, you lived with this guy.
Oh, yeah. For a very long time.
I mean, he has a problem. This is a medical condition.
I was immune to it.
You had built up like one of those crazy guys who gets in with rattlesnakes. You've been bit by so many times, like it wouldn't do anything.
I just go with it.
I was like a newborn being attacked by a water moccasin.
You have to train slowly.
I had no immunity.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I've never seen Jimmy beg for ass mercy before. Like, Jimmy was calling a truce. Like, just come on, put down the anus and walk away. I don't want any trouble here. And T. Chance was like, if it's on, baby, it is on. And then we got to the room. The Continental was. Saw cookie jar and the crumbs over there. And I remember getting with one room, had 2 small single beds in it. Jimmy's funny because Jimmy's one of these guys who snores his ass off all night. And then when you wake him, then the next, you wake him up 9 times during the course of the night. And then the following morning, he'll be like, how'd you sleep? And they're like, I didn't get a wink because you were snoring all night. And he'll go, I don't snore. And I go, really? Because a fucking midget crawled up your ass, who's a horrible snorer, evidently. Don't you love those people where you go, you were snoring all night? And they go, I don't snore, dude. And you're like...
Right. Because you'd know, being asleep.
Yeah, I didn't have a stroke. You were passed out, and I was fucking wide open, and you're fucking snoring all night. And I go, no, couldn't have been me, because I don't snore. And I'm like, so, and you take a look at Big Tad, you see sleep apnea written all over the dude. So, in one bed, you got Big Tad, and Big Tad is sawing fucking logs. You got his brother's ass is just singing a song by campfire, like a harmonica that he never put down, just ass, all ass, Big Tad snoring away. Jimmy is passed out and is snoring, and I have my hypervigilance. No eye mask, no earplugs, no nose plugs, and I'm just staring at the ceiling, inhaling Big Tad's brother's ass the entire time.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't snore.
Oh, it was easily the worst 50 hours of my life. Easily.
Hey, now, you're missing something, by the way. The magic that is Adam. Remember when you lit your fart on fire?
I had to light my farts just to...
Beautiful blue flame, man.
I was lighting farts all the way out there. Yeah, that was also for Kevin Ryder's bachelor party.
Was anyone even impressed, though, in that fart milieu?
You know why? I feel like I was lighting... I felt like I was lighting his brother's fart, too. Like, I wasn't sure whose fart was being lit.
It's like a fart snowball when it starts going.
Yeah, I lit farts. We went to Binion's and had, like, a 99-cent prime rib dinner.
Y'all went out for me on my 21st. That was awesome.
Yeah. And by the way, after we got there, I was like, for his brother, I was like, all you can, stream water and jicama. That's all you can eat, buddy. You can't eat any of the fucking calorie in it or that's any color. I can't take it. And I was saying to Tad the entire time, is this it? Is this what he does all the time? Please tell me this is a special ass occasion.
He works out and he farts.
Right.
That's all he does.
So at the time... Now, this is 15 years ago or whenever it was. At the time, he's dancing. He's doing a little exotic dancing.
Yep.
Bachelorette parties.
Yep.
Did he ever fart up one of those parties? Because that would clear a fucking room. Like, chicks would be shoulder rolling and jumping out of plate glass windows if this guy. And by the way, he was fully dressed when he's farting. In there with that thong back banana hammock with the dollar stuffed into it. Nothing to hold that fart back but a thin swatch of nylon.
He knows when to attack, and I don't think he did.
He's
it
able
at
to
a
shut
club.
It off.
Yeah, he could shut it off and on anytime he wants.
Oh my God! So no dimmer switch though; it's a toggle, and it was flicked on. So he's blowing ass the entire time. We dropped him off in a parking lot somewhere on the way back. I remember that. He had to go dance. He had to drive some other dancers to a party or something like that.
That's right.
And I remember your dad was pissed off about the grandson being named Blade at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can you give us an update?
My brother's in Atlanta, Georgia now. He owns a...
He was asked to leave California.
Yeah, he was asked to leave.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
We got to give you another state. Our eyes are killing us. AQMD's up our ass already. We got enough problem with smog here.
With EPA.
There ain't no catalytic converter for what you got, buddy.
No, he owns a gym out there, and he works with NFL players and baseball players, and my nephew is doing really good. I have another nephew that's doing baseball and football and just kicking ass, and I'm very proud of him.
And he Serrated Blade, or what's his name? What's his
actually no,
electric
that's
knife?
No, what? Actually, he named him Chance also.
So. So he went from Tim to Chance
to TC. Well, he calls himself TC. And now my nephew is Chance, and my other nephew's Blade.
I almost got TB from hanging out too close to his ass, ironically.
Hey, you brought it on, man.
Jimmy brought it on. I was caught in between the dueling assholes over there.
You're an innocent bystander.
Yes.
But you agreed with it.
I was what you call collateral damage. But I thought it was funny when Jimmy announced
that he ate
a can of raw clams before this ride. But, all right, so now how old is his son now? Because... Is he 20 years old?
No. I think he's 13 starts freshman football. Freshman, you're about
this
12,
is the 13? This is the new one?
This is the new one.
And then he has an older one?
Yeah, that's 15.
That's Blade.
Yeah, he has I can't think of it right now.
Don't tell me some kind of syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Now I feel like an asshole. Like autism.
No, he was born with autism.
Oh boy.
How do you feel now, Adam?
Well,
yeah.
I am an atheist, so yeah, not as bad as I could be.
True that
feeling. But wait a minute, he's got autism and he named him Blade?
Yeah.
What?
Don't even start. I don't know.
I just feel like Timmy's fine when you have autism. All right.
Really? Timmy?
Well, all right.
Yeah, go ahead, everybody, say it.
All right. But listen, the thing about being autistic is... Does he know he's autistic? Because if he doesn't know he's autistic, then it's cool.
Yeah, he knows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
he's doing all right?
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Was this damage brought on by your brother's
No.
Not an environmental thing?
Not an environmental thing.
All right.
Born with it.
I got to do some studies on this. I feel like I have some brain damage just from the van ride.
Think what you could have been.
And Big Ted, you're bouncing?
I am bouncing, but I'm also on X1039 out here in the IE.
Oh, okay. So people can listen to Big Ted out
12,
here.
12A to 5A, Monday through Friday.
All right. Well, Big Ted, give it up for him and his brother's ass. Big Ted.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you, my brother.
Adam.
Oh, I'll never forget that weekend.
I need to ask, why did you guys all stay in one room? Like, weren't you in a position to not do that?
It was a weird little moment in time. It's like fucking a super hot, popular actress just before her first big movie comes out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Like, she's still cocktailing, and she did a couple movies of the week, and she had a little arc on, like, NYPD Blue, and you fucked her right before Spielberg called, you know? And now you can say you did. It's like... He fucked my nostrils up just before I broke, you know?
Right.
It was Jimmy was working at K-Rock. I was working at K-Rock. Obviously, Tad was over there. Jimmy thought everything was a goof, you know? Like, it'd be fun. Like, it's Big Tad's 21st birthday. Let's take him to Vegas and get him drunk. And it was also, I was living in an apartment in, like, North Hollywood, Toluca Lake area. So, for me, it was, like, right before love. Well, I don't know. Big Tad will tell us. Big Tad. It was your 21st birthday, right? When is your 20... What month is that?
It was 96.
Oh, 96. All right. So it was... Yeah, it was just... I got on to Loveline in 96 and a half, or maybe that propelled me into Loveline. I was like, I can't take this anymore. But it was just... And I was still doing Mr. Burgess. Was it the beginning of 96? April 96. All right. So it was right. I must have started Loveline in, I don't know, July of 96 or something like that. But either way, I was just about to get out and make a few dollars. And Jimmy was just about to I don't know, start win Ben Stein's money and whatever else, but it was just before all that. If it had been your 22nd birthday, no fucking way would we have gotten in that van. And if it had been your 20th, we wouldn't have had enough money to rent the van. It was right in that sweet zone.
Right.
So, yes, that you can, yeah, I'm sure you can tell everyone you know you destroyed my liver and Jimmy Kimmel's brain on a way to, well, it was really your brother. I'm sure he tells everyone in Atlanta, oh, yeah, that guy farted his face up, but good. Yeah. Yeah. And Fallon, too. He probably just keeps the lie going. Yeah. All right. Should we bring, what time is it? Should we bring Fitzsimmons out here now? What do we got? We have some audience,
questions.
What time is it? Who's got a watch out here? 8:27. It's been like coming on to a half hour. Ah, why don't we bring Greg Fitzsimmons out here right now? Everyone, Fitz Dog. Fitzy, have you ever heard such a story? Oh, sorry, your microphone's behind you. Sorry about that.
Why are you apologizing that I didn't see a microphone on a stool?
I don't know why. You've been on stage enough. You think you'd know about that. Have you ever had a story that way, where you went on a road trip with some guy? And by the way, we didn't know T. Chance Thrasher. He was Tad's bodybuilder brother. So if we told him to knock it off, he probably would have raped us in the van. You know,
sure.
It's like there's nothing we could do. You can't tell a bodybuilder, say, dude, stop farting in this van.
Do you feel that weightlifters anally rape you when they're upset?
I wouldn't call it protocol, but I'd say it is the first move of choice,
yeah.
For most bodybuilders, yeah.
Because it's...
And by the way, it's dry anal rape. It's just anal rape.
No, absolutely, because it's a burn. You want the burn.
Yeah, you want the burn. Yeah, feel the burn. And
feel
then
the
Jimmy
burn.
Be like holding his balls going, you need a spot?
Yeah.
You want to spot those balls?
You just hope he doesn't want to do a lot of reps that day.
Right, yeah. Yeah, high weight, low rep to build some bulk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is funny how much men worry about getting fucked in the ass when it really, outside of prison, doesn't ever happen unless you want it to.
Yeah.
Yet it is at the baseline.
I would argue even nights where I've wanted it, it hasn't happened.
Yeah. I mean, but I would argue it's at the baseline of all homophobia, and yet I've never met anybody. Raise your hand. Have you ever been fucked in the ass when you didn't want to be? I'm sorry, men?
One guy. Oh.
Because with a woman, you've already given up that real estate about an inch away, so it could be, oh, sorry, accident. But with a man, it's
right.
Never in the fucking neighborhood.
Right. It's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I don't know how many I don't know how many times it's happened. Well, again, to the one fella back there, it's happened once. Just once? Just multiple times? The point is, you're right. Outside of the joint, I think it's pretty infrequent. But yet we walk around. But isn't that what we do? We sort of walk around preparing for earthquakes that hit maybe once every 15 years and don't really do any damage. And we walk around waiting for airplanes to fall out of the sky or terrorist attacks.
Yeah, we insure our car, our house, our life, our health, our fucking pets.
Ah.
There should be dry anal rape.
Yeah, all state for the anus.
Yeah.
That big black guy could be the spokesperson. Like, hey.
Yeah.
Fuck your car, buddy. I don't give a shit about your house. I'm coming for your ass. And but, I'd be like, well, sign me up.
Yeah. What's the deductible? I won't put it all the way in.
Well, there should be dry anal rape.
I wear rubber.
There should be drills. Dry anal rape drills. Like, what would you, you know, like you prepare
for
an earthquake.
Oh, what would you do? Yeah,
be prepared. What would you do? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of like stop, drop, and roll, it'd be flop and scooch.
Flop and scooch.
You know, you'd be
flop,
like a dog.
Scooch.
On a dog. Like,
yeah. It used to be that you'd put your head between your legs, now between somebody else's legs.
Right, yeah,
I guess.
No, yeah. Yeah, don't go under that desk. You go onto the ceiling fan. Totally different drill.
You had ceiling fans in your classrooms growing up?
Once in a while there'd be one in there. Yeah, and that putty you use to hold the vase so it doesn't fall off the shelf.
Yes.
That just gets balled up and put in your ass.
Got it.
Yeah.
And that was Big Tad making his rare podcast appearance back in 2015.
I remember hearing him having some health issues a few years ago. I haven't heard an update since. I hope he's alive and well.
I agree 1,000,000%. The last time I saw him, he was actually working at Kimmel, but that was many, many years ago. So, yep, we love you, Tad.
We love you.
And your brother, Chance Thrasher.
Yeah. Was it Chance T. Thrasher?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Thank you for all of the years of stories and entertainment. It brightened so many people's lives.
That's right. And for those who don't know, I guess you kind of heard an answer, but Tad worked on Adam's radio show.
Yeah, Big Tad was a kind of a flunky, whack pack type character, but employee of the Adam Carolla Show morning show. Before that, he was a guy that Adam knew through Kimmel and their legendary stories involving
You want to know how I first heard of him? Was there was a clip, and you could probably find it if you Google it, but it was Joe Coy used to call in as Kobayashi, and the game they would play was what weighs more, blank or Big Tad? And Kobayashi would always say Big Tad. You'd say, what weighs more? 35 bowling balls or Big Tad? And Kobayashi would think about it. Big Tad! Oh! and
that was a pretty good impression of Joe Coy's Kobayashi.
Thank you.
We don't actually know because I don't think we have many clips of the actual Kobayashi speaking, but I like Joe Coy's better, I think.
Yeah, same.
Than the real guy.
I actually think Kobayashi sounds like that whenever.
I'm always going to assume that until he proves differently. That's what I'm to believe.
That's right. All right, we have
release that audiobook, Kobayashi.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the only way we're going to figure it out.
Or hire Joe Coy to do it and make a billion.
Oh, that's right. I love a collab. All right, we have one more clip for everybody, and it's the Rotten Tomatoes game.
We took last week off both episodes, and people were like, more Rotten Tomatoes. I was like, all right, dudes. Adam Carolla Show 1554, Billy Corbin, Matt Atchey, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. This is from April of 2015, 43rd installment of the game. It's a comedy sequel theme round. Check it out.
Let's play the game. Let's hear the song. Bald, we got a fucking rally.
I got a title to defend.
Right. We're looking at a two-time streak.
Defending champions.
Fucking cock-ass Trace won two times in a row. You understand?
Yeah.
I can't let that happen.
When
again.
I get the belt made, that's what it'll say. Cock-ass Trace.
I got a quick question for you, Matt. You tell me what you think. If you bring up, let's see, Gary, YouTube the Newman trailer, I think this thing has like 800 thumbs up, but 2 thumbs down. And you're in this business a little bit. You got to kind of figure this one out. But are you with me when it gets to, let's say, 500 thumbs up to 1 thumbs down? Whether it's a porn site or YouTube, we erase the thumb down because we know it's just there as a fucking disgruntled neighbor or ex-girlfriend or whatever it is. I'll have to blow it up a second. You guys can go to YouTube and watch it. Oh, there's 3. Shit, there was 2 this morning.
No.
It's 8:14 to 3.
If I see 8:14 to 0, I think something's up, and I'm like, there's some propaganda going on. So I think the 3 helps you. The 3 is a good
thing. This builds credibility.
Yeah.
The 8:14 to 3. Yeah, but how could you screw with this?
It's a guy logging in with multiple usernames.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is that YouTube commenters and whatever, thumbs up, thumbs downers, are the worst. Of all the commenters on the internet, YouTube is the worst.
Okay.
So maybe the people who do this are
8:14 to 3, then.
Gary's give me the
Brian is 100% right. YouTube comments are the worst things on the
internet. All right. I'll take
you
the 8:14
to
3.
You lose all faith in humanity. Read YouTube comments.
Okay.
Yeah, the fact that it's 8:14 to 3 is, I've never seen that.
You
That's
won,
awesome.
Sir.
All right. Let's do it. Let's play the game.
All right, there were a lot of different themes that I was thinking about this week. I want you to let you. I want to let you know my thought process. I thought about doing Dennis Quaid movies.
Oh.
I thought about movies about big government expenditures for tax day.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized there's a sequel coming to theaters that nobody asked for. Paul Blart.
Oh, no.
Which is currently at a zero on the tomato meter.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go but up.
Nowhere to go but up. So we're going with comedy blockbuster sequels.
All right.
Okay.
So first up, sequel to the 1984 film that made $234 million in the box office. The original film spent 14 weeks in the number one spot at the box office.
Romancing the Stone.
Great movie.
Beverly Hills Cop. The sequel from 1987 is what I'm looking for the score for.
Hmm. All right.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
People like the first one. People like the soundtrack. Two, The first one, he didn't. Was he going to the amusement park at the end, or is that the first one?
That's the third one.
Yeah, that's the third one.
That's the really shitty third one.
All right.
The first one, they kill his best friend, and then he has to search for the killer and gets involved in that art. Yeah. Heist.
Right. And the second one is Ronnie Cox is investigating something, and he gets shot, and Eddie Murphy comes back to Beverly Hills to help find the bank robbers that are played by Brigitte Nielsen and Dean Stockwell and Jürgen Prochnow.
All right. I'm going to say the critics weren't in love with this. Eddie Murphy was on a roll at the time, but this may have slowed his roll a little bit. 51%.
I have an inflated score because Eddie Murphy was the biggest star in the world. It was an okay movie. I said 70%.
I'm sticking with cynicism. I'm going 48%.
46.
Well, that's it for me.
Wow. Wow, Gina's rolling. Here we go.
All right, next up, this is the 1989 sequel to a time travel movie that was from 1985. The first movie did $210 million at the box office, so obviously it was going to get a sequel. Second one, also directed by Robert Zemeckis, reteams Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, Back to the Future 2.
So the first one was good and smart and had lots of funny little moments like thinking he was named Calvin and things like that.
The second one was good, though.
You're right. Was the third one the Western one?
Yes. The third one's the Western.
I'm always on the first and the third. I can't remember
the second one that much. They go into the future.
The second one's with the sports book.
The second one has the alternate timeline where he comes back and Biff has taken over the world.
Right.
There's the big casino.
They liked it, right? But they didn't love it. I mean, it's never going to be. Comedy second time around is going to be pretty darn tough to do. I don't know. I'm going to say 63%.
I may be way too high again, but I went highest at 80.
I'm going the other direction. I'm going 58.
64.
Shit. Ooh. I think I may have just jumped.
Brian, you might as well just throw out the towel.
Not going well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up, one of the few sequels we saw Jim Carrey do, 1995 sequel to a film that was only about a year or two old, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hard one.
Fun. He's always just Jim Carrey doing Jim Carrey, but critics couldn't have been kind to this.
Yeah, I'm imagining
they had to be pissed off about this. 44%.
I had to go low to get close. 22%.
I'm going 33.
On the nose at 33.
Oh, no! God!
Wow. Did I just suck the power out of you, Brian?
Oh, my God.
Three P's looking good.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I didn't know I had such a gift.
Okay, our next movie is the 2011 sequel to the number one R-rated comedy of 2009. Reteams Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, and Zach Galifianakis. Hangover Part 2.
All right, so here's where they went to, like, Thailand or something.
I don't think critics were very kind.
No, not kind at all to this. I love the first. I think they felt insulted by the second. Or they just thought it was the same movie again. I'm going to say 31%.
I'm at the part of the game where I've got to start taking chances. I said 70%.
I'm going 27.
34.
Yeah. Mm. I'm close. It could come down to this, Gina.
All right.
It's very close.
Let's do this.
All right. Last movie. This is the long-awaited reteaming of Will Ferrell, and his crew from Anchorman. This is Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues.
Mm. Now, I think this is one of those movies that I think the critics weren't great to, but it seemed kind of fun to me.
I hated it. It was disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Maybe I didn't see the whole thing.
I hated it so much.
People, by the end, in the movie theater, people were completely bummed
really?
Out.
Really? Didn't
yeah.
it have some good moments or something? Yeah. I feel like the trailer
first,
was
first
okay.
First half was good. Second half was
good moments,
terrible.
But you're hoping for more than that in a 90-minute film?
All right. Oh, shit. I'm going to say 44%.
60.
37.
75.
Oh, shit! No!
That's good for me.
Shit.
I don't know what it is for Brian. It's good for me.
I have triple digits on this game.
Oh, shit.
Fucking 75.
I'm shocked.
This is one of the crazy ones. Where
the original film is at 66.
That's impossible.
It's insane.
I don't know what happened.
That happens with a lot of these movies where the critics don't get the comedies right away. Then the second one, they're like, oh, it's just good, the original, blah, blah, blah.
But the audience has it. You never see a comedy. Well, not this kind of comedy. You can see a Little Miss Sunshine where the critics have it higher than the audience. But usually the big, broad comedies, the crazy over-the-top, big budget stuff, audience in the low 50s.
They really missed the mark on this one.
This makes no sense.
Yeah, I can't believe how many people. I didn't think this movie was nearly as good as the first one.
Not even close.
I think my Bollywood review for this entirely consisted of the sentence, Anchorman 2 sucked balls or something. It was the entire thing.
All right. Yes. I'm going to give a little spot to Dollar Shave Club. I'll let Gary tally that up. This is a nail biter. Dollar Shave Club, baby. Razors. Expensive. You got to go in there. You got to wait in line. You got to find the aisle. You got to find the guy with the keys because I keep everything locked up because it's scary because we're living in a land filled with crazed junkies. Vibrating handles, 19 blades, laser pointers, a compass, a divining rod. You don't need it. You need Dollar Shave Club. DollarShaveClub.com. Amazing razors. They got grooming supplies. They got everything you need. Takes 2 minutes. You sign up. You never have to worry about razors again. Do it for your dad. Do it for your son. Do it for grandpa. Do it for whomever. It is Dollar Shave Club. You get the handle for free, and then they just send you the replacement cartridges. Don't waste time, people. Let's upgrade. Let's be smart. It's your time, man. It's your life. DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. Shave time. Shave money. DollarShaveClub.com/Adam. All right, Gary.
Now, before we get to the score, I have to point out that Gina here is on the edge of her seat.
I am so
terrified. You are
so
mad about that last movie.
Oh, God.
Just barely.
Oh, yes.
I guess you can
tell
by the
sound from
Gina.
Another win from Gina Grad.
Yes. 48 for Gina Grad. 102 for Ball Bryan.
Oh, boy.
It's time for a PET scan, buddy.
So I'll point out what saved Gina here was
the
that negative
five. Like my stupid rule.
Yeah. Thank
it was
you,
my
by the way.
Fucking rule. I would have won by 2 points.
I'm still super pissed at the Anchorman 2 critics, though.
I am, too.
Could have been a runaway.
Oh, because you got it.
Yeah. Rotten or fresh.
Three-peat.
Hat-trick.
Wait a minute. You went with, what'd you go on Rotten Tomatoes? What'd you go on the last one? The Anchorman?
37.
Oh, 37.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It really wasn't very good.
I went with 44 or 38.
You went with 31.
Oh, me?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I was looking at the... You went with 44.
Fuck.
She went with 37. Brian went with 60.
Right. But if it was 50, that would have been better for me?
If the score
no.
was...
No. I would have been... you would have been closer to, and I would have been closer to.
Yeah.
It's academic, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Only if it was between you would it have changed the score.
So it's just dumb pride. All right. All right, Brian, we got to meet after the show.
Yeah, we got to huddle up. We got to huddle up.
Well, we got to talk about folks in order to work that board.
Yeah, okay.
And that was the Rotten Tomatoes game back in 2015. That'll do it for Corolla Classics. We will be back tomorrow. So make sure to subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.